Our speaker today is Allie Miller. I told her I didn't have any information on her, so I can't introduce her at all. She's been a member of our church for a few years now, and we appreciate the work that she does around the church. And if there's anything you should know about her, she can tell you. Allie, welcome.
Good morning, or actually it's now afternoon. Good afternoon. I want to thank you for inviting me here today. I really appreciate this opportunity to come and share with you. I would like to share some of my personal experiences with you. How I believed lies, how they impacted my life for a lot of years, how God pursued me, and I came to trust Him, and how I committed myself to Him through Jesus Christ, and He changed my heart, my marriage, and all of my relationships. Please pray with me for just a moment. Lord, I give this all over to You. I thank You for this opportunity. I ask that You guide my words, that they may please You. In Jesus' name, amen. Speak up.
Right into the mic, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll pay attention, I'll speak right in, and I'll speak clearly. All right, just need to be told. Thank you, Marilyn. So, Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it." It's been my experience that what we believe in our hearts forms the foundation of our lives. The people around you and what you experience influences you, particularly when you're young. And if you're told lies, you'll likely believe them, particularly if they come from people you trust. I grew up in a home where my parents struggled a lot. It was depression, addiction, injury, joblessness. I grew up thinking that unhealthy, sinful things were normal. Love was mostly absent. And I developed behaviors that helped me to cope with the chaos that we lived in. We were isolated from family and friends. And I believed many lies. No one will ever be there for me. I am not lovable. My father hates me. I'll never survive on my own. You can't depend on anyone. I am alone. And at 18, I was on my own, and I was not equipped to look after myself. I was very afraid, and sometimes I couldn't be rational. Let me share an example with you. I lived in Montreal for 13 years in my early 20s. My father lived in Sudbury. It's an 8-hour drive away. Until I was about 25 years old, I believed that my father would come to Montreal and kill me. Recurring nightmares changed to severe anxiety, and when I started getting migraine headaches, I went to a neurologist. He was Jewish, and he had a collection of owls. They were all over his office. At my 6-month visit, he asked me, "What's going on in your life?" He was looking at me, and so were all the owls. I told him about my dad and that I was afraid for my life. He listened, and wisely, he brought me back to reality with another question. "Don't you think that someone would tell you he was coming?" In my distress, I had not thought of that. I'm sharing this because I want you to have a sense of how fear, and really any strong emotion that is not based in truth, can be debilitating. It keeps us from living the life God wants for us. But I did not understand that then. Fear remained my constant companion and motivated most of my decisions. They were usually poor. Self-destructive habits developed. Relationships were mostly painful. Bad decisions led to shame. And I wanted to be a good person, but really, I just did not know how. My life often felt meaningless and empty. I tried doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists. In my late 20s, I began searching for answers elsewhere. Buddhism, New Age, Hinduism, they all hit my reading list. My introduction to Christianity came through a Buddhist monk. Yeah, God was trying to get my attention, but I was having no part of it. I did not believe that God existed. By now, I'd finished university. I graduated with distinction. While some of my behaviors were improving, my relationships were still often chaotic and painful. As I experienced minor successes at work, fear and shame started to slowly move to the background in my life. I was okay. I was self-sufficient. I bought my own car. I thought it was all because of me, my reading, my spiritual growth. And a new lie entered. I can make it on my own. I didn't realize it, but pride and arrogance covered my severe insecurity. I always had the feeling that I didn't fit in, and that if people knew who I really was, they'd reject me. So I lived like a chameleon, changing myself to any situation in order to survive. One day, not long after receiving a promotion at work, everything stopped. The fear stopped, the pain stopped, and my mind stopped. At 32 years old, I had a nervous breakdown. I was dead in my soul. It took me over a year to function again. And by God's grace, I was looked after. About 2 years later, in 2004, I moved to Saskatchewan. I bought an old house in a small town outside Regina, and I found a job in the city. With the stress of a mortgage and other responsibilities, debilitating anxiety and panic returned. I would say the Lord's Prayer every day on the drive to work. I did this probably for a year, and it slowly started to change me. I began attending church in town, and the acceptance of the congregation astounded me. I chose to be baptized. I learned about community and fellowship and service. Now, we didn't talk much about Jesus where I was going to church then. And there wasn't a discipleship program for new Christians. So I would say I wasn't really growing in faith. I was 36 when God gave me a huge gift, and I've shared that with some of you in this room in the past. He introduced me to Gary Miller. I experienced unconditional love for the first time, and the miracle was that I was healthy enough to be a partner. God's work in me was paying off. But like usual, I did not recognize his handiwork. We got married and our lives got busy. And in the busyness, I stopped going to church and pretty much forgot about God. He provided, he guided, he gave gifts, and I walked away from him. Looking back, I would tell you, he pursued me. So fast forward a few years, I'm in a pretty good job. I have a small staff. Within a year, I get a raise, more staff. Now I start going back to school, working to complete my CMA, which is an accounting designation. I'd been at my job for 3 years, and there were some challenges. I spoke out against bullying and some other unethical behavior, and I pushed out of the organization. I was so angry. And in my anger, I took a job that was not suited to my skills. I got sick. In my need, I turned to God. I prayed, please help me. Help me, heal me. Help me find another job so we can keep our house and make our payments. And by His grace, I healed quickly. I settled into a new job and I finished school. But I was still not growing in my faith, and busyness was an enemy. But He continued to pursue me. A dear Christian friend was praying for me. I began reading Christian books. In January 2017, I got a very bad case of bronchitis. And I spent a week on the couch, sleeping, and reading Christian mystics. From those pages, something in me shifted. I realized that I had never really been alone. And there were other people who felt like they didn't belong in this world too. C.S. Lewis spoke to this brilliantly when he wrote, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." I shared lots with my good friend. She taught me how to pray and listen for the Holy Spirit. And I found First Baptist, a welcoming community where I could walk with other believers, grow in my faith and knowledge of Scripture. And I began to feel what John Piper describes as God's great desire for His people, that we feel secure in His love and power. I started to get glimpses of this other world in my day-to-day life to experience peace and joy. Now, some of you may be asking, rightly, what about her husband? Now, this might not be true for everyone, but I suspect it's true for many. When one person in a couple comes to faith and is born again, it can rock their spouse's world. So, by the way, Gary did give me permission to share this part of my testimony. I talked to him about all that I was experiencing, all that I was reading. He was not feeling the same excitement that I was. And he said, "I've seen this before. Too much religion can break up a marriage." You see, Gary always put me first. And I did not always do that with him. Sometimes I put work first. Or myself. Now there was God. Where would that leave him? It was challenging in the beginning. And there was lots I didn't share with Gary. I would go in my room, close the door, and pray. He knew it. But we didn't pray together. And we did not talk about my prayer. You see, Gary had never really practiced his faith. He grew up in a Christian home. His parents read the Bible. They were active in the church, active in the community. In his extended family, there were many believers. His grandma trusted in the Lord in some of the toughest circumstances. But Gary witnessed a lot of hypocrisy from people who called themselves Christian. And the sense of justice runs deep through him. There were times when his own family treated him cruelly. It makes it hard to trust when people close to you hurt you or let you down. From what I can tell, he didn't experience a lot of God's grace. And there was still a battle going on inside me. I had doubt. All the years of trying to make it on my own, filling my life with things except God, not putting Him first, bad decisions. The pain that I caused other people. The fear, shame, pride, arrogance. The list is long. I read the Apostle Paul and his story resonated. I knew that nothing truly good came from me on my own. My friend recommended some books on Christian healing. It was hard. I was like an onion, asking God to peel back the layers and change me. I repented. I asked for forgiveness. I forgave others. He was transforming me, and now I was more than willing. When I had doubt, because it did not go away overnight, he gave me the perfect books to read or situations to help me see and believe his power. And then I read Mark chapter 9, verse 24, when a father brought his boy to Jesus to be healed and exclaimed, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." So I added that to my prayers too. Finally, after months, I said, "God, please drive the bus. Your will and not mine. Jesus, I relinquish my rights to you." And then I got down to business. I prayed for him to show me how to be the wife Gary needed me to be. I started to pray for intercession. I asked him to move in Gary. We started reading books together. My friend lent me Christian movies. We listened to John Piper sermons, and I'd read anything that I thought would resonate with Gary. We attended church and adult learning at First Baptist. We started listening to contemporary worship music, which we both love. And I pray. We read the Bible together most mornings now. Sometimes we pray together. I know that God expects us to behave in a holy way toward one another in our marriage. That means putting the other first in love. Gary had already taught me that. Now I understand why we're called to share the good news. When I look at our world, at the suffering in our community, in the people I meet, I know there's another way. He does not want this for his children, not one of them. The Christian life isn't without suffering. The difference is that we know that we are not alone. Jesus does walk with us. I am so grateful that God didn't let up and that he was relentless. He was trying to give me his gift of grace, and I did not believe. When I let go and asked him to lead, faith came in. When we say, "God, you are my God, please come in," we experience forgiveness, and in his love, all the lies get swept away. That's why it's so important to be born again. He allowed Jesus to die on the cross so that we could know him intimately. He wants that relationship so much that he'll chase us down. He pursued me and loved me. I needed to believe, trust, and obey. In his mercy, he continues to transform me and Gary, and our marriage, and all of our relationships. Amen, and thank you, Lord, for being relentless. Thank you.